There is a huge difference between the United States of America and almost every other country on the globe. And that difference is reflected in many ways, and I would guess that if you ask dozens of people the differences, you'd get dozens of answers. I certainly see what Wendy said, that our nation is founded on Christian principles, and that is very clear as you study history, no matter how people might want to reconstrue that and to make it seem different than that. One of the differences that I notice that people see when you travel abroad is the idea of wealth, that Americans are so wealthy. And when you travel abroad, you know that that is true, that we are extremely wealthy in comparison with many other countries. God has blessed us beyond measure. And I would say that probably when we went through the south side of Ecuador, I don't know if you remember that, Sue and Perry, Russ, but just the poverty there was overwhelming to see and how wealthy we are in comparison to that. And have you ever wondered, you know, why is it that America, North America, the United States is so wealthy when compared to other countries, especially South America, because South America has such vast resources, just as North America does. And I once heard a speaker addressing this issue, and he made this observation. He said that when people came to North America to found what was later called the United States of America, they came seeking religious freedom because they wanted to honor God with their worship. And God honored that by providing for them in ways above what they could ask or think. In contrast to that, when explorers came to Central America, to South America, anyone remember what they were looking for? Gold. Yes. And God rewarded them accordingly. And the poverty you see there is probably a result of that. There is a principle that when we honor God, He honors us. And I believe that that's one of the fundamental reasons beyond just the nuts and bolts of what these North Americans did, that God was at work in our nation early on and caring for us as we honored Him. Now, it's not just that way for nations. It's that way for people. It's that way for churches. It's that way for you and me. If God blesses a nation because that nation honors Him, and if God blesses a church because that church honors Him, and if God blesses us as individuals because we as individuals honors Him, then something follows that if we stop honoring Him, does the blessing stop? Now, different people will answer that question differently. They'll say, I don't think so. I think God's blessings are unconditional. Oh, boy, the Bible just doesn't show us that. This morning in Sunday school, Betty Wise mentioned that our nation was formed on godly principles and focused on or developed by men and women who cared about doing the right thing. And today, I love Betty's expression, people think it's just a party. And that pretty much is characteristic of my generation and the generation to follow, that we don't have the same sense of honoring that the generations preceding us had. We really need to develop within us, among us, that sense of honor because, well, do you know what the word Ichabod means? Don't name your child Ichabod. It means the glory has departed. And that's a biblical word. It happened more than once in the kingdom of God. In Ezekiel, for example, Ezekiel literally sees the glory of God get up from the Ark of the Covenant and roll out of that, not roll, float out of the tabernacle and whew, out of Israel, out of Jerusalem. When we as individuals fail to honor God, Ichabod could be our name. When we as a nation or we as a church. Now, evidently, James understood this because James really wants to give you, in a nutshell, he wants to give you the way that you honor God through your religion. And he does that in James chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 26. 27 is really where the meat of this is. But he says in verse 26, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted from the world. Now that passage gives us some glimpses of what religion should not be. And the first thing it's telling us is that religion should never be just a matter of words. It should never be just a matter of what you say. If anyone considers himself religious and doesn't keep a rein on his tongue, his religion is worthless. Being Christian isn't a matter of addressing religious matters. It's not a matter of talking about how gracious and forgiving we are. It's a matter of being gracious and forgiving. It's not a matter of talking about how much we love others. It's a matter of actually doing that love and showing that love. It's not a matter of talking about how we should be. It's a matter of being who we should be. Pure religion, James says. It's not a matter of words, and it's not a religion of self. There's a universal temptation that every individual here, every individual that has been born, has had, and that temptation is to make yourself the center of everything. To make yourself and your wants and your desires and the way you want things to be and your opinions, to make yourself the central focus of life. C.S. Lewis says that repentance means getting rid of that tendency. In fact, here's what Lewis says. He says that repentance means unlearning all the self-conceit and self-will you've been training yourself in for thousands of years. We've been training ourselves in for thousands of years. Look at verse 27 with me again. And I'm going to have you look at this probably five more times today. Maybe you'll have it memorized by the end of the service. But listen, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Boy, there's not much about self in there, is there? There's not a whole lot about you and me in there. In pure religion, self is crucified. Moreover, in pure religion isn't about just going ahead and being who you want to be, regardless of what God has to say. The last words of verse 27 say to keep yourself from being polluted with the world. God makes it clear, there is a way I want you to live as a follower of Christ. And James shows us that the nature of pure and faultless religion is really caring about people who are in need, to look after widows and orphans in their distress. So what kind of people are widows and orphans? What does that mean? Who should we be helping, and how should we be doing it? Well, without asking your permission, I have an excellent example of this that I'm going to share with you today. You know that Alberta is a widow in our congregation. You here today, Alberta? Good to see you today, Alberta. Alberta has children. She has two sons that I know of. Do you have more than that? Two sons, okay. And they live far away. One of them lives as far away as the Middle East. And so it's kind of difficult for them to help with the day-to-day things in Alberta's life. Both of them live far away because God has called them to live far away. It's not like they looked at Alberta and said, I can't wait to get out of this nest and get away from her. Who would ever look at Alberta Hoover that way? They both live far away, and so they can't, when there's a big snowstorm, they can't show up and shovel the snow for Alberta. And when there's a problem with the lawn, they can't come and mow it for her. And if something happens with the refrigerator, they can't take care of that because they're far away. But Alberta has remarked in evening services, if you've been here, you have heard her probably more than once, how thankful she is for a person whose name is Barry Neff. I don't think Barry's here today, so I'm probably... Oh, hi, Barry. He's hiding in the back. It's good that I didn't ask your permission because you'd have denied it, right, Barry? Yes. Alberta has remarked many times how thankful she is for Barry Neff, who comes over and shovels her snow when it comes so that she can get her vehicle out. And I'm sure Barry does other things. Do you see what he is doing is what all of us who name the name of Christ should be doing? We should be living out our faith so that it's pure and faultless, looking after orphans and widows in their troubles. And that's what the text says. It says, in their distress. That's pure and faultless religion. That's the kind of people we should help, people who need our help and can't find it somewhere else. But what kind of care should we give them? Because I've bumped into people who say, well, yeah, I visit in a nursing home a lot, you know, and that's cool. I visit my Aunt Betsy and her roommate. Sometimes I pray with them, and that's kind of fun. I do that. Because the King James Version says to visit them. The New International Version says to look after them. And whenever I see two different versions saying two different things, because a visit is a lot different than a look after, I look and I see, what is the actual word that James is using there? The word that he is using there is the kind of word that you would use if maybe you tucked the kids in and you thought you heard your little kid, you know, upstairs. You thought maybe you heard something, or something, you know? And so the wife might, after an exhausting day, look over to husband and say, could you please go up and look in on the kid? I don't think you call him the kid, do you? Maybe after an exhausting day you do. Could you please go up and look in on little Billy? Could you please go up and check on him? Do you understand? That isn't just going up and plopping yourself down beside the crib and going, how's it going, man? How's your day been? Doing all right? That word that James is using there involves active care for them. Really doing something that is helpful to them. If you visit them, and James talks about this, if you visit with them and go, hey, I see you got a problem, see you later, that's abhorrent. What he wants you to do is care for people who need the care. Pure religion, faultless religion, involves guarding against the world's pollution. Now, it's kind of odd that James throws that in there at the end, keep yourself from being polluted with the world. And when I think about that phrase, I think, what's going on with James? Why would he throw that in to this concept, to this thinking? Why does he mention this? And so I looked at James' context here, and I see that James has talked a lot about the problem we have receiving trials as blessing, the problems we have trusting God, the problem we have applying God's word personally, the problem we have closing our mouths and listening to what God might have to say to us, the problem we have with being quick to become angry and blow off the handle. And I see that all of those problems are selfish problems. And I think that when James says to keep yourself from being polluted by the world, he's saying, don't be selfish. And that fits so well with what he's saying about widows and orphans here. That pure and faultless religion hasn't bought into the world's mentality that says, man, be all you can be. You're the most important person in the world. Do you remember that song from Sesame Street? Do you remember it? Want me to sing it for you? Yeah, somebody said, yeah, you're in for it now. My wife's shaking her head, no. The most important person in the whole wide world is you, and you hardly even know you. That ain't true. That's just not true. You're not the most important person in the whole wide world. I understand what Sesame Street is doing there. They're working to give children a sense of identity and help them to know that they matter. And that's really important because you do matter. To God, if you were the only sheep who had gone astray, He still would have sent His Son to die for you. So you do have that kind of value and importance in the face of God. But the world does not revolve around you. And the world says, yeah, it does. Or it better revolve around me. So what I see James saying when he says, look after orphans and widows in their distress. Don't let yourself get polluted by the world. He's saying, don't allow yourself to feel like everything should be your way. Remember that song by Sinatra, I Did It My Way? I heard Ravi Zacharias preaching live one time. I was there when he was preaching. And he said, I Did It My Way is the song they'll be singing in hell. He's right. Because your way is not always God's way. When James says this, he's telling you not to behave in a selfish manner. He's telling you instead to live a life of grace. That's what it means to keep a rein on your tongue. The destructive part of your tongue is the part that tears others down. It's the part that promotes division among people. It's the part that defends yourself. It's the part that gossips and tells tales about people that really there's no need to express those things. James is saying you need to keep that in check. Instead, you need to live a life of loving action. It's one thing to talk about helping orphans and widows in their need. It's another thing to do it. And you know, one of the biggest hindrances to that is the busyness of our lives. I can't believe how busy people are these days. And there's more and more to do all the time. When I was a kid, you know, there was one thing to do in the summer, and that was go to the Laurel Festival in Brookville and eat strawberries with ice cream. And if you missed that, you missed the activities of the summer. But it's not that way these days, you know. The boat races, those are happening right now. Kerwinsville Dam. I'm not sure how you can get a high-speed boat going on that dam before you have to throw in the brakes. They must be dragging anchors or something. I don't know. And they were yesterday, too. And before that, what was the thing a week or two ago? Motorcycles, you know. And even though it rained, there are people out there. What's going to happen next week? I don't know. We just looked, Tim and I, just looked at the calendar for our church and for our lives and for the community, trying to put together some evenings where Clear Voice could maybe do a concert and then we could play ball in our gym here at church. And we found two of them, and we just happened to notice that that last one is the last day of the Clearfield Fair. What is it, Laurel? It's the Friday night of the Clearfield Fair. And we can't compete with that. You know, people are going to be down at the fair. And so we're thinking, man, one night, and we checked this in June, one night that we can do a concert at our church on a weekend. Wow. People are intensely busy. You are intensely busy. And the problem with that is it doesn't give us a chance to live out pure and faultless religion if we're too busy to do it. Sometimes the busy things in my life are things like television and hobbies. Boy, I hope that I don't allow that to keep me from living pure and faultless religion. Some other busy things are things like family. And family's important. You know, I want to be there. The Kerwinsville High School Marching Band was in the biggest parade in the East Coast yesterday. Grampian Parade. So I went to see them, you know. And I don't know if anyone else was there and noticed this, but the star of that whole parade was my daughter Esther with her baritone, you know. Well, to me she was, you know. I want to be there for those things. And yet, there are going to have to be times in my life where I'll have to look and say, you know what, I can't really do that and live out pure and faultless religion. I can't spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, being a family guy if I'm going to look after widows and orphans who don't have family to look after them. You follow that? The busyness of our very society can keep you from living pure and faultless religion. That's probably why James says, don't allow yourself to be polluted by the world, but live life in purity of heart. And that comes from staying close to Jesus. You know, God honors us when we honor Him. I believe the United States of America has been honored by God, and that is why we are the greatest country in the world. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that this church has honored God, and that is why we are the church that we are. I believe that those of you who I know desire to honor God, and that is why you are who you are, because that comes through pure and faultless religion. But along the way, our nation, our church, and us as individuals can become sidetracked from these things. Our nation can become sidetracked and start worshiping a different kind of God, a God of pleasure, a God of self. And our church could do the same, and as individuals, you and I could do the same. I can't control my country. All I can do is vote and pray and speak up, you know. That's a good thing to do. And I can only do so much for us as a body to keep us on the right track. But I can choose myself to live a life of pure and faultless religion, looking after people like orphans and widows in their time of need. Can't control my country, can't control my church, but I have a choice as an individual I can make. And so do you. Will you join me in making that choice? As you are here the Sunday when we hold the bread and the cup in our hand, can you examine your heart and say, God, is my religion pure and faultless? Or has it become a religion of words? Is my religion pure and faultless, or have I really kind of made it self-centered? Am I thinking about myself? Are there people who I should be caring for, fixing their roof or plowing their snow or trimming their grass? And as you hold that bread and that cup in your hand, His Holy Spirit will speak to you because He is here. And He will help you to see those things and then pledge before Him that you will do that. Before we go to our communion time, let's bow our hearts together in prayer. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your word and for how it speaks so clearly to us. And we are sorry for the ways that we can become distracted from living lives that are pure and really demonstrating care to one another. So often, God, we find ourselves caught in a trap of demanding attention rather than giving attention to those who you have shown us need it. As we take this bread and this cup today, speak to our hearts about how we can live lives of pure and undiluted religion so that you will be honored in Christ's name. Amen.